the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and we enter the sixth chapter. Ephesians chapter 6, and as I mentioned to the younger people earlier, keep in mind that a hinge verse where all these relationships depend upon is chapter 5 and verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Only the filling of the Spirit can help us to fulfill these natural and God-given relationships in a gospel way in the Church of Jesus Christ and in the families of believers. So the message this morning is on honoring the Lord, children who bring God pleasure. Ephesians 6, the first three verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You don't need to turn there, but the verse in Colossians 3:20, it's similar, a little different, reads, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So the title, children that will bring, who bring God pleasure. Someone cynically said that we spend half of our life striving with our parents and the other half striving with our children. Hopefully that's not the case. May that not be our experience by God's grace. Salvation in Christ can transform parental-children relationships immensely. Note the parable of the prodigal son who strove with his father and in due time God's grace brought him back home and they hugged together and lived happily ever after, as it were, not without struggles. For we're sinners saved by grace. There's a God in heaven who made us and invented our relationships, who can cause them all to be enjoyable and wholesome. We've looked at how the Lord has addressed the church, members and leaders interacting together. How husbands and wives have been addressed in the marital relationship. And now we come to the family and then to the homestead and into the workplace and beyond. For the Lord is sovereign, and He is the one who commands us in every relationship, for He owns us, and He's the Creator and the Redeemer. Notice some introductory thoughts from these few verses read this morning. Again, the sovereignty of God extends to the family. Children are addressed, and they're commanded, we are commanded to obey and to honor. Secondly, children are an inheritance of the Lord. They're entrusted to us. We have to remember they're His possession. We need to handle them with care. They're His souls. All souls are mine, says the Lord. So we're borrowing our children. And may we be good stewards. Faithful parents. Thirdly, children were in the worship services. They're addressed. These letters were read in the public worship services. Ephesians is an epistle or a letter. It's read to the church. And so we find that interesting thought that just like today, in the early churches, there were wives, there were husbands, there were masters, there were servants, there were children, there were parents, there were leaders in the church services. Fourthly, their duties are based upon the summarization of the Word of God. As the Apostle says, to obey your parents in the Lord, he bases it upon the fifth commandment, where he then quotes, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And so we really, again, conclude that every precept and prohibition finds its application in the summary of God's Word in the Ten Commandments. Obedience to our parents is obviously that precept is found in the Fifth Commandment. And the prohibition as well, to not blaspheme or disobey our parents. We find that in the Fifth Commandment of God. Fifthly, the word for children is used of infants killed by Herod and the older son in the home, the prodigal son. Called son is the same word, child. And this word is translated child in the New Testament, son, children, and even daughters in 1 Peter 3, verse 6. So it covers the whole range from infants to older sons and daughters in the home and even beyond. Sixthly, it applies to sons and daughters in the home until their own home is established when they leave and cleave. But even then, honor always applies. As a single 40-year-old, Isaac obeyed his father and made sure that he did not marry a Canaanite woman. Think about Esther. Esther, though, was even married, and she obeyed her uncle and kept things secret, her Jewish nationality, until the right time. So we find in the Bible that certainly honor is something that extends all the way until our fathers and mothers go into eternity. Seventh, the appeal is to conscience and propriety when children are commanded, and we are commanded to honor our father and mother or to obey our parents. This is right, Paul says. So he appeals even to the natural order of things. And it certainly applies, all the commandments apply to lost people as well as saved people. But I think of Mark Twain, even Mark Twain, who never professed to be a believer. This is what he said. When I was 14, I was amazed at how ignorant my father was. When I turned 21, I was amazed at how wise my father grew in 7 years. This is Mark Twain. And yet, this is how often we find in the world today, we think after a few years we have exceeded our parents in wisdom and experience. How arrogant we are when we're younger. And God help us to mature and appreciate the sacrifice and the expertise of our parents. And of course, there are mighty incentives given, particularly, and the Lord knew that we children needed those incentives, that your life might be long, might be well. It might be well with you, and you might live long on the earth. Those are mighty incentives for us to be obedient and to honor our parents. So how do sons and daughters bring God pleasure? Let me say, first of all, from this passage, it's part of our duty to the Lord. When we obey and honor to the Lord, is our responsibility to the Lord, it brings Him pleasure. Notice it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What does that mean? It means it's connected with God, what pleases God. It's part of your overall duty to the Lord. We always look beyond to the highest authority. And God has invented the propagation of the species, fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. He's invented the relationship. We have the Lord. You look at concentric circles, and in the very center is our relationship with God, but the next circle around that is parents and children. And so it's dear to God's heart. I mean, think about it. The first of the last six commandments, man's relationship with man, is about parents and children. It's not number 10, it's not number 9 or 8 or 7. It's the first. And, you know, there's a little debate in the early church writings. The fifth commandment is found often in the first table, actually. You know, we think it's naturally so. You have 10 commandments, 5 on one table and 5 on the other, and people debate, well, how many commandments were on the first table that Moses chiseled out and God wrote upon, and how many were on the second? And there's a debate. Many say there were 5 and 5. Many say there were 4 and 6 because the first 4 are God, man's relationship with God. Who were to worship and how and what time or you know, and the manner and so on. But there were some that felt that the fifth commandment was part of our special duty to God, as it says here, in the Lord, because it reflects upon our attitude toward God when we respect the authorities that He has placed over us. Remember in Ecclesiastes, our study at the very end, it says, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So it's part of our duty to God. It pleases the Lord to respect His authority by submitting to the lesser, if you will, authorities. And by the way, it expands to our grandparents, certainly the honor, and fathers and mothers in government, in the church. We're told to honor older men as fathers and younger and older women as mothers. And possibly we could say that in 2 Corinthians or 2 Kings 2, those youths that were disrespectful of the fatherly prophet Elisha probably were not taught proper obedience and honor, or they were taught false religion, and their dishonor by blaspheming and calling Elisha bald-headed so disrespectfully cost 42 of them their lives. So it's part of our duty to the Lord. Keep that in mind. So often we only think so narrowly. God has commanded us to be obedient and to honor. May we respect Him. Secondly, it involves our whole being. Notice there are two particular commandments. Obedience, obey, and honor. There's similarity between those two, but there are differences. Obedience is dealing especially with actions, and honor is dealing with attitudes. Now, there's a crossover, but why is action first here? Because He's particularly addressing younger children, and younger children, smaller children who are naturally self-centered and needing clear, crisp commandments. They don't always think out of the box. Now, we want to give you credit. But I remember as a child, I needed a crisp command. I wasn't thinking out of the box, and my attitudes were wrong, but I needed a action commandment. Just take out the trash. I should have been thinking, well, it's my Father. He's raised me. He's sacrificed for me. And yes, sir, yes, Dad. But what I needed was just take the trash out, because I told you. I just needed that as a young child. And in time, that the action of obedience, I trust, matured into the attitude of reverence and respect. And I obeyed my father and mother, not just because they said so, but because they were my father and mother, because I love them and I reverence, I respect them. The love-fear motives will certainly emerge in due time by the grace of God. But what I needed when I was young is pick up your toys, come to the table, bring your Bible, stop making noise, don't touch the stove, get ready for bed. I just needed those action commandments. And when we're growing up, those action commandments are important. They're teaching us the wisdom of our parents. They're keeping us from danger. They're commanding us things that are productive, that eventually are going to be seen as wise, and just helping us to learn to be good stewards and good habits. But later on, they gave us more leeway, but still there were the commands, be home by 10 o'clock. Please take out the trash, do your homework before your games, and make sure that we're in the living room by 8 o'clock for devotions as a family. So the actions are especially noted in the command to obey. How are we doing as far as action commandments? And we also have fathers who are in the political realm, in the church realm, and in the education realm, as it were. When the president asks us to pray on a certain day for the nation, are we respectful? Are we obedient, as it were, to that needy command, that needy thing? And so many other action commands that are helpful and necessary. But especially the attitude is addressed, the heart, the motive behind the actions. Honor your father and mother. It means to give respect to give weight to cultivate by example and word. The hint certainly is given that parents can help the honor of their children by, as a father is commanded, to bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and not to be harsh. And I was listening to Joel Beakey recently, and he said, they asked him on a 3 or 4 minute clip, what's the key to a child obeying his parents and honoring his parents? And he said, you know, a real key is the relationship between the father and mother. Is it loving? Does the father make sure that the children respect the mother? He said, if my children spoke disrespectfully to my wife, I would take them into a certain room and I would caution and warn them, never are you to speak to your mother in that way. I love you, but God is serious about your respect towards your mother, and vice versa. This is a quote from 40 years, Dr. Lloyd-Jones, 40 years ago. It's not a new phenomena. Paul said that it would especially escalate in the end. You notice we read together that in the last times, vicious times would come, perilous times. And one evidence of that is children that are disobedient to parents. Listen to these words by Lloyd-Jones. The injunction is that children are to obey their parents, and the word obey means not only to listen to, but to listen as realizing that you are under authority. You listen under. Matter of fact, the word obey means to listen under, literally. You are looking up for a commandment, and you not only listen, but you recognize your position of subservience, and you proceed to put it into practice. But it is most important that this should be governed and controlled by the accompanying idea, that of honoring. Honor thy father and mother. This means respect. This is an essential part of the commandment. Children are not to give a mechanical and grudging obedience. That's quite wrong. That is to observe the letter but not the spirit. That is what our Lord condemns so strongly in the Pharisees. No, they are to observe the spirit as well as the letter of the law. Children are to reverence and to respect their parents. They are to realize the position as it obtains before them, and they are to rejoice in it. They are to regard it as a great privilege, and therefore they must go out of their way always to show this reverence and respect in their every action. The apostles' appeal implies that Christian children should be an entire contrast to the godless children who generally show lack of reverence for parents and ask, who are they? Why should I listen? They speak of them disrespectfully. They assert themselves and their own rights and their modernism in this whole matter of conduct. That was happening in the pagan society out of which these Ephesians had come, as it is happening in the pagan society that is round about us at the present time. We read constantly in the newspapers of how this lawlessness is coming in and how children, so it is worded, are maturing at an earlier age. There's no such thing, of course. Physiology does not change. What is changing is the mentality and the outlook leading to aggressiveness and a failure to be governed by biblical principles and biblical teaching. One hears of this on all hands, young people speaking disrespectfully to their parents, looking disrespectfully at them, flouting everything that they tell them, and asserting themselves in their own rights. It is one of the most ugly manifestations of the sinfulness and the lawlessness of this present age. Now, over and against all such behavior, the apostle says, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother, treat them with respect and reverence, show that you realize your position before God and what it means. That was said 45 years ago, and how much more today. And so this involves our whole being, our actions and attitudes. We are to say, God gave my parents to me. They bore me. They bathed me. They bought. They built. They sacrificed for me. I'm thankful for them. And may we, not only in action, but in attitude especially, obey and honor our parents. So we find that it is part of our duty to the Lord. It involves our whole being, our actions, but especially our attitudes. Thirdly, it's regardless of our parents' condition. It pleases God that we accept His grace to honor and obey parents regardless of their spiritual and other condition, whether our parents are unsaved or backslidden or delinquent or belligerent. The Lord doesn't say, when He says obey your parents in the Lord, it doesn't mean obey your parents only if your parents are in the Lord. That's in the Lord referring to your duty. So the Lord is saying, I'll give you grace. Some believers are especially challenged, children, believers, and even children that are not believers that have single parent homes or belligerent, negligent fathers and mothers. That's a way certainly to provoke your children to wrath when you have a father that is frivolous with spending and doesn't take care of his family, for instance. But Christians make a mistake by saying, Paul had to deal with this in Corinthians, well, I've been saved and my spouse hasn't, so I can divorce them. I'm above that. No, Paul said we maintain the natural relationships. If the spouse wants to remain in the home that's lost, I'll give you grace. He giveth more grace. Same way with children. Children shouldn't have this idea, well, I'm a believer now and my parent is belligerent or unsaved and I can just flout and be aggressive and ignore. No, the Lord says that this is gracious of God to help us to reflect Him even in a most difficult relationship. I can remember a friend of mine in college was wanting to date and to see a girl that was in the college with us, and she had an unsaved father, and the father did not want him to see his daughter. And my friend asked for advice, and we prayed over it, and we said, it's wise that if her father does not want you to date her at this point, that you shouldn't date her. God can open his heart, whether it might be by salvation or just give favor. And that really made a mark on her father, that Ron was willing to respect his wishes. And he didn't have this cavalier spirit, well, the man doesn't know the Lord, he doesn't have any discernment, let's go ahead with the relationship. And you know, the Lord turned this man's heart. He didn't get saved, at least up until the marriage, but the Lord changed his heart. And he saw that Ron was respectful and respected his wishes and facilitated her respect for her father. And it was a testimony. And maybe the man has been saved, but I'll tell you, it was a gospel witness that Ron and this woman respected, reverenced her father. How much more a believing parent? How much more a believing parent? This was a grievous sin in my part, may I give a personal testimony of not listening to my father and mother growing up. I caused anguish, especially to my mother. She was losing her hair. And I can still visualize, she had a long dresser. And on that dresser were heads that had wigs on top of them. And I remember asking Mom, you know, some people naturally lose hair, but I remember asking, Mom, why do you have so many wigs? And she said, I'm losing my hair. And she seemed to connect it with my behavior, with my stressing her, my grieving her by just constant disobedience and disrespect. And I'll tell you, when the Lord saved me in West Virginia at 18 years old, when I was crying out, literally crying out to God, that one sin stood out the sin against my mother. And I remember saying, oh Lord, let me make it up, please. Save my mother, but Lord, let me make it up to her. Give me time to show her respect and to ask her forgiveness. And you know, God was gracious. And I remember weeping before my mother and saying, Mom, I've hurt you all these years. Terrible treatment. And my mother got saved. And the Lord gave me time to be able to show her respect and to ask her forgiveness for so many sins and so many episodes of breaking her heart. God is gracious. He's able to give more grace, isn't He? And so we find that it's regardless of a parent's condition. If you have a more difficult situation in a marriage or in a home or in a workplace, can you rejoice that God is still on the throne and that He gives more grace? And isn't that more of an opportunity to prove the Lord and to prove His wisdom and to prove His grace and to prove His Spirit in your life? Fourthly, children, please God by including, this includes all spheres of life. It's easy if we just limit it to a selective sphere, but notice in Colossians it says, children, obey your parents in all things. Similar to what it said to the wives, to be submissive in everything. So what does it mean in all things? In other words, in every sphere, family matter, social, education, ethics, dress, free time, marital partners especially. In other words, it involves every single area. Duties at home, chores, having devotions, being willing to sit with the family for Bible reading and prayer, attitudes towards siblings, in the social realm, the types of friends. Remember we sang even in that hymn earlier, shun evil companions, respect our parents' opinion of our friends, a curfew, work choices. In education, the place of learning, ethics, your manners, treatment of people, honesty, dress, modesty and appropriateness, free time, limit our devices, limit our TV time, our media choices, marital partners especially. I can remember Jeff Roach wanted terribly to marry a certain girl, and he tells us publicly, so I'm not gossiping, and his father said no. I don't believe that she's the one. And he wrestled and strove. And he's so grateful that God turned his heart to respect his father's wishes. And he married Erica. And they're living for the Lord and serving the Lord. And he didn't understand it at the time. But he understands now how important it is to trust your father and mother, to respect your parents and to obey God, to respect the experience and the foresight of our parents, to trust that God will navigate our lives even when our parents' decisions seem to cross our own desires. I wish I'd listened to my father. I remember my father saying to me, Phil, what are you really getting out of sitting before all these football games? You should be under the hood. You should learn what's involved in the engine. And I wish I had when I was growing up. And now all I can do is change oil and wash windows. You know, I wish I'd listened to my father. Oh, we can go on YouTube. I was able actually to change a motor in the car window, but it took me about 10 times as long as anybody would take. And I even needed Tanya's help at midnight in July, and how kind she was to help me figure out the last bit of information. But now I need YouTube, where if I had just listened to my father, I wouldn't have to spend so much time watching other people do things. I must have watched the video about putting in that motor about 15 times, and I still couldn't get it all. It's true, we ought to obey our fathers and mothers and honor them. It includes all spheres of life. Fifthly, it's an example and a rebuke to a rebellious and God-dishonoring world. In Romans 1:30, it's sandwiched. Paul is saying that this is an evidence of, in other words, it's an evidence of a rejection of the gospel that people will be disobedient to parents. Notice he says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. As he goes on to say that men suppress the gospel in ungodliness and unrighteousness. Do you see how they go together? If you're ungodly, you're going to be unrighteous. Your spiritual condition is going to dictate your actions. It's ungodliness first and then unrighteousness. If a person's ungodly, he doesn't know the Lord, or he's away from the Lord, he's going to be disobedient to parents. He's going to be a covenant breaker. He's going to be a liar. He's going to be so on. It's your relationship with God that determines your actions. So again, honor comes before obedience. As far as the depth is concerned, again, children growing up, they need that action command. Yes, we urge them to develop honor until they come to know the Lord and they're walking with God and they mature. They need the action commands. But the Lord says there's a direct correlation between someone's spiritual relationship and their actions and their attitudes toward their parents and toward everyone in authority. Same way we read together in 2 Timothy 3. Disobedient to parents is an evidence of the last days, the vicious times. You don't have to be in Walmart very long to see. It's the church nursery that proves that children are depraved and from the very beginning they wail out against authority. And we all, growing up, we needed salvation. We needed, you know, that's why the Lord padded the back end. We needed that corporal punishment to remind us that we're rebellious and that we need to turn to the Lord. Titus 3:3 says that we were disobedient until the kindness and love of God toward man, of our Savior, appeared to us and saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit. It's salvation that delivered us from our rebellion against authority. And like I was saying, it was when the Lord was saving me, He reminded me of my wickedness and my disobedience. It was my major vice. So I had many other vices, but that was a major vice in my life. And God was gracious to save me. It was a vice specifically against God's authority. But oh, how it hurt my parents deeply. God was gracious. God can give opportunities. It's not too late. He's still on the throne. And young people, older sons and daughters, the Lord is still on the throne. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just like that ice slid off the roof, so the Lord can slide our sins off our hearts and change us as we behold His glory. The glorious Savior who, as the Son of God, became man, submitted Himself to His father and mother. This is how He desires for us to live. It's an example to a wicked world. They're used to parents and children fighting and children disrespecting and demeaning and talking back to their parents. You know that. And Jonathan and Sam have shared that, how some of the teachers are so burdened and so vexed by students having bad attitudes, not wanting to learn and talking during class. And what a difference you should make, and what a difference our children should make before neighbors, before friends and relatives. I can remember my brother-in-law, who wickedly departed from my sister, saying to the rest of the family when we weren't there, you know, they've done something right. They were watching our children. They're not perfect. But our sons and daughters learned to respect and learned to be obedient. And my brother-in-law saw that. That was on his conscience. Why are the other families broken up? Why is there such wickedness in the other families? They saw our sons and daughters. Oh, we're sinners saved by grace. But that was something that God dealt with us about in bringing up our children, to teach them to be obedient and respectful. It's a witness to our relatives. It's a witness to the world. We read, and in the driver's room, I just listened to the other day, one driver saying, my daughter won't listen to me. Everything I have to say, she just contradicts it. What do I do? And they're all talking back and forth about what to do. Salvation is needed desperately, but the fear of God to come, certainly. It's an example. It's a testimony. It's a gospel witness to the world. Why are you different? Why aren't you like the rest of people? Flouting your rights, being your own man. This is an individualistic society. Have it your own way. Because I fear God. God is on the throne. And I'm going to stand before God one day. And I love my father and mother. I want to bless them. I want them to go to the grave happy and joyful and ready to meet the Lord. As the Bible says of leaders in the church, it says to the people, obey them that have the authority over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, that is, give account at the day of judgment, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. To see a person give account, I tried, Lord, I tried, but they wouldn't submit. It's not only a grief to a parent, it's a grief in the future for us if we don't submit to the Lord. I didn't want my mother's gray hairs and lack of hairs to go to the grave, grieving over my wickedness. God was gracious. 6thly, children obeying and honoring parents pleases God. It's a respect. We respect major incentives to and promises of an enjoyable and extended life. It's the first commandment wrapped up in a promise, as it were. We're not exactly sure all that that means, but it's certainly saying the Lord particularly connected a promise, so actually two-fold promise to this command. If you honor your father and mother, you obey your parents, it will go well with you, number one, and you may live long on the earth. We can certainly say that disobedience and dishonor is a sure way to experience a premature or unexpected death, and especially a life of adversity. It will go well with you if you honor your father and mother. That means if you don't, and I don't, it will not go well with us. What does that mean? I don't want to find out. You know, it's easy to dare and say, what does that mean? Am I going to get sick? Am I going to have friends that fail me? Am I going to constantly fail at this endeavor and that endeavor? I don't want to find out. I know that I picked some poor friends, and I know that some things happened in my life. I almost was killed several times. Took my brother's car under the influence of marijuana and wrecked it and nearly was killed and lied to my brother, and he kicked me down the stairs and kicked me outside and kicked me on top of his car. That's exactly what I needed. Put a hole in his 1974, whatever car that was, Buick or beautiful car, and said, make sure you come back and it's in one piece. I hit a mailbox, glanced off, and went into a cornfield, and corn stalks were going before me. And I didn't even think. I turned it and didn't hit anything else and didn't hit a car on the road. And pulled over, and the hole was in the top, and it scraped all the way to the back. And I lied to him. I said, an Indian, I was on the Indian reservation, an Indian sideswiped me. And he's on the phone calling the troopers. And I said, Ted, please put the phone down. And he went outside after he kicked me, and he pulls out corn stalks. He said, what in the world? I'm a liar. You know, that was a turning point in my life as God began to sober me. Kidnapped by Native Americans when I was 16. We were on the reservation till 4:30 in the morning. I thought we were going to die. And by the grace of God, we left. I don't know how we got out of that situation. I have known some people that died prematurely, and I'm quite sure it's because they curse their fathers and mothers. What did it say in the Old Testament? He that curseth his father and mother, let him flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. It was a capital crime in Israel to dishonor your parents. But oh, the delightful life of an honorary child. It's no guarantee we're going to live to be 100. I'm not sure I want to live to be 100. But the word literally is long lived. It'll go well with you, and God's grace, it will follow me all the days of my life. But you can live to be 40, and it'll be still a long lived life. There are people that have lived to be 100, and it's like nothing's, they haven't done anything. And you can live to be 30, like McShane, and you lived as if you served the Lord for 100 years. The Lord gives you grace to redeem the time and fills your life with opportunities to glorify Him. As much as we don't want to dare what it means not to live long, we certainly are trusting the Lord. The sky is the limit. If we live for the Lord and honor our parents, we anticipate and trust that living, being well with us and having a long-lived life will be greatly multiplied by the Lord. And finally, by obeying our fathers and mothers and honoring them, it will bring joy and hope to our parents when they give account before the Lord. And I've touched upon that. Like John brought joy to Zacharias and Elizabeth, even at his birth, but throughout his life, no doubt, thou shalt have joy and gladness. Samuel brought joy to his parents. Every year she brought a new coat to him as he grew out of the previous one. And what a joy it was to see that their son was still serving the Lord in the temple. He hadn't shaken off that. He didn't say, you know, I had no childhood. I had no life. Here I am in the temple. You know, that would have been a temptation, right? But there he was serving the Lord all his days. Where didn't it go well with him? And didn't he live long-lived? Where it says not a word of his fell to the ground. And how he served in the nation. Oh, he failed like we fail. Certainly we wish that he'd have brought up his children in a better way. But he served the Lord. You remember in Proverbs, how often does it say, a wise son, a wise child maketh a glad father, but a foolish one is the heaviness of his mother. We find that kind of text throughout the book of Proverbs. The father of a fool hath no joy, and is a sorrow to his mother. It's a grief and bitterness to her that bear him. It's a calamity to his parents, a child that's disobedient to dishonor. But an honorable child rejoices his parent, 29:3. Remember the relief that it brings to your father and mother, to bring your heart joy to know that I've pleased the Lord and I facilitated my parents' joy and happiness. I want to live a life that honors the Lord and blesses my father and mother. They've raised me. They've sacrificed for me. They're helping me to navigate in this wicked world. So we find many reasons in which we ought to be obedient and honoring to the Lord, and obedient and honoring to our parents. It's part of our duty to the Lord. It involves our whole being, our actions and attitudes. It's regardless of our parents' condition to prove God's grace. It includes all spheres of life. It's an example and rebuke to a rebellious and God dishonoring world. There are major incentives to and promises of an enjoyable and extended life. And it gives our parents joy and hope when they give account before God, and in this life especially. So what is our reaction to this instruction? Do we bristle? Do we tremble? Do we weep and pray that God would forgive us and help us? Do we rejoice that our parents can pray? And like Paul would say of so many people, I give thanks for your obedience of faith. That we can say with Jesus, Lord, I'm seeking to do always the things that please you. I can't say as Jesus, I do always the things that please him. But Lord, you're helping me to seek to please you in all things. And you forgive my sins regularly. Let's be like Jesus. Let's please God by honoring and obeying our parents. Time is short. My dad and mom are gone. Opportunities for me are gone. My mom, 7th anniversary of her homegoing is the 19th. My dad, 3 years ago, March 15th. While we have opportunity, may we prove the Lord. May none of us wait till it's too late that we'll have to stand over our parents' grave and say, Lord, I wish I had listened, Lord. Change me now. Change me now. Let me reflect you as a son and daughter, or daughter in the Lord, for God's glory and for a testimony to the world. God be with us.